Good to have you here this evening. For those that are online, again, thank you for joining us as we conclude the series on guiding principles that the shepherds, the elders here at McDermott Road have used to help us as we guide the congregation, as we shepherd the flock under the chief shepherd, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But if you would at this time, bow with me, we'll go to our Father for a word of prayer. Dear Father, we thank you so much for your love and concern for us. Father, we thank you for the blessings that we have in Christ. We thank you for the ability to be called your children, ability because you gave it to us through your grace and your mercy, knowing that each one of us has sinned and fallen short of the mark that you have set for us, but that you had a plan even before you created the world to reconcile your people and to reconcile all that would call on the name of Jesus to yourself. Father, be with us this evening as we spend time in your word, as we focus on thoughts of how we can encourage each other and how we can be your servants in this place in North Dallas. Father, thank you for Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. So again, one of the things that that we've touched on in each of the classes is the elder's vision. The elder's visions, as we've thought about it, again, we've walked through those each time, and we will in a moment, but particularly with this particular lesson, thought it would be helpful to give some additional thought and context to what the elder's vision, at least the context for it. The vision statement talks about a vision describing the desired future position of the organization, the future position of the church, this congregation. Also the idea that a vision statement is an aspirational statement. Again, it articulates what we would want to achieve. And in particular in context of the brighter together concept, it's also an inspirational statement that describes how an organization, how this congregation, how we would want to be viewed by those that interact with us. And again, those that would be interacting with us would be not only each of us as members, but also visitors, the community, the world at large. Again, the idea being, are we portraying ourselves in the way that we ought? And again, a lot of times we think, and there certainly is scripture and there's foundation for the idea that we shouldn't care what the world has to say. We shouldn't worry about what man has to say. We're concerned about what God has to say about us. And that's, yes, that's accurate. On the other hand, one of the verses that we'll look at in a few minutes deals with the concept of being a city on a hill. And if we are, as Christians, are to let our light shine, then we do care how the world perceives us. We do care how those that see us will react to our circumstance. Again, that verse concludes, and again, we'll get into it a little bit later. It concludes because we want the folks to see our light shine so that the Father may be glorified. So the purpose isn't how do we come across, except to the extent that that affects how God will be glorified because of our actions. So as we walk through, again, just very briefly, the elder's vision statement, we want to be seen as a Christ-centered, Spirit-led, Bible-based group of Christians working to reach the lost and encouraging transformational spiritual growth among our members. We also want to be known as a congregation of a people of the Word, and that we are evangelists with evangelism touching every aspect of our ministries. Next, we want to be known as a congregation that knows and demonstrates the power of prayer. We want to be enthusiastic about God's work. We want to be easily distinguished from the world's culture. And we want to have congregational participatory worship that is characterized by reverence, praise, and remembrance. And again, to reiterate some of the concepts there, the idea is this is what we want others to see, and not just, well, this is what factually is occurring, or this is what we know to be true, but this is how we are perceived, or we want the community, we want visitors, we want our members, we want everyone that interacts with the McDermott Road congregation to have this understanding, this perception, which puts a significant burden then on each of us as to how we behave, how we as shepherds guide and direct and oversee, and how we as individual members, how do we accomplish those aspects that that will allow this vision to be fulfilled. And again, a key aspect of each of these points is that it must be derived from Scripture, and yet we also recognize that there are so many areas that a congregation can emphasize. And so these are some of the concepts that we wanted to highlight as we think about the guiding principles for the eldership. But tonight's lesson, again, as I touched on, is being brighter together. And that brighter together is focused on the idea of facilitating transformational growth. So that's the purpose that we have as we contemplated and thought about what the concept of being brighter together would be. And again, this theme was developed in the context of a capital campaign. As this slide indicates, though, this theme is not intended to be just a clever tagline for a capital campaign slogan. We wanted it, as we looked through and thought about what is the approach, the purpose, the vision of this congregation, we had really very specific intent on choosing those words, choosing that concept. And again, the idea of being brighter together evolves from our vision statement. And we wanted to recognize and take into account, how do we use the blessings that God has granted to us? How do we take into account all the gifts? And those resources include people. It includes the location where we are, in the middle of a very vibrant, growing, and prosperous part of Dallas, part of Texas, part of the United States. And we also wanted this theme to be essentially a means to an end. A means to an end, again, not focused, although part of what we are looking at is the physical plant, but more so, how are we interacting as a congregation, and how do we come together to facilitate transformational growth? And I think particularly in light of what we've gone through over the last 2 years with COVID and the separation, the separateness that has occurred so frequently, I think it's very good time to revisit and reconsider some of the concepts that being brighter together implies. And I will say, the idea of being brighter together, there is an aspect of that that is being physically together, and I think it is increasingly important that we work to be in physical proximity whenever possible. But it's more than just physical proximity. It's being together in both a unity of spirit, a unity of purpose, being on the same page, being encouraging to each other, strengthening those relationships that we have with other members of the congregation, with other families. How do we encourage that kind of togetherness so that we are and can be brighter together? The next slide talks about the concept of, again, being brighter together. We're brighter together than apart. And that, again, we want to ensure that we use our position in the community, again, in the location where we are, the talent that we possess, financial resources that we receive, that we maximize the positive impact. We maximize the use of those resources to the benefit of the kingdom. So that, again, is the, you know, we are about kingdom work. We're not just in isolation. We shouldn't be in isolation. We come together to build each other up so that we can then be seen and be God's hands and feet to the community to spread the gospel, ultimately so that God can be glorified. A couple of verses here, Matthew 5, Ecclesiastes 4, that we want to look at. First of all, Matthew 5 says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to the whole house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." So again, the concept that we talked about there before, what we are doing is so that people can see our good works and that God can be glorified. Again, we don't do things to get glory from man for our own purposes, but we do the things that God has prepared for us to do so that he can be glorified. And as we think about those works that we do, the shining of the light that we have, that's both an individual call, what we individually are asked to do as Christians, but it's also a collective call. Can you think about a city? A city is a collection of individuals, but the light is not very bright if it is just one person or one house or one candle or one fire. But you have a city that will light up the sky when there are thousands upon thousands that are collected in that area. So again, it's both an individual and a collective call. And then you have the concept in Ecclesiastes 4, verses 9 through 12. "Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken." So again, the concept there is that together we are a threefold cord, that we have strength. And part of that you can see physically, but even more so spiritually. God put us in a family. God put us together, not only within our physical family, but he put us together in a spiritual family so that we can encourage each other, we can build each other up, that we that are a body with multiple members can help each other because we have different strengths, different talents, different abilities that come into play. Next slide, we talk about a little bit of how do we maximize that positive impact. Again, if we have more members to evangelize and to preach and to spread the gospel, we can have a broader impact. We have more talents to apply in the sense that there may be things that we can do together that we could not do alone or that we could not do as a smaller group. We have more resources to share. There may be problems or issues that we can do together that, and have an impact and take care of issues that we can't or is very difficult for us to do one at a time or by ourselves. Again, the point is that so much of what we do is still individual commitment, individual engagement, individual interaction. But when it makes sense and when we come together to take on larger projects or larger issues, then is our impact being felt into the community and in the world. And then this last point being the indirect impact. Part of the issue that we have, when you think about throughout this country, there are thousands upon thousands of churches. Most of them are not any bigger than the number that are here in the auditorium right now. And that's on their most full day, when everyone in the congregations are gathered. They may have 30, 40, 50, 60 members. And we can be an encouragement to them. We can help, we can provide resources, we can provide information whether that be teaching content, Wes's preaching, the information from his blogs, other things of that nature that we can do together. We can be encouragement to other congregations. We can also be an encouragement to larger congregations. And when they look at and say, well, we've got, McDermott Road, there's 1,000 people there, and they do that without deviating from God's word. We can be a beacon, an example of how in this day and time still to follow God's word without compromising for any reason. As we look to the next slide, then the next item is, in the concept of being brighter together, how does God look at us? How does God look at man? Think about Wes's lessons on the fall, Adam and Eve in the garden. God did not want them to fall. God did not want that separation to occur. And yet, God also made it clear to them, and he makes it clear to us, that we, each one of us, is a unique, made in the image of God, image bearer of our Creator. And he deemed our relevance to him, that we are important enough that he had the plan to send his son to sacrifice for us. And he wants us to realize the total benefit of being his children, of being redeemed by him. And we want to be a congregation where folks that are interacting with us and are in fellowship with us and working together with us are transformed in a way to maximize and to realize the potential that God has in mind for each one of us. So again, that's part of what we're looking at, is are we transforming ourselves and our congregation, our members, even though we are all unique individuals. I've got a few scriptures here. Better take my watch off here. I will go way over and I'll get in trouble with all the teachers that are down at the end will need you to pick up your kids in a little bit. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1, first passage here. Again, the idea, it's a common concept, but that the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? And as it is, there are many parts, yet one body. And then down in verse 27, now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Again, the concept that's so familiar to us. God put us together in his church, individual members, but part of one body. And then also in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, where God there said, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So again, we are the image bearers of God. We are unique. And that's something that has great implications for us. Another couple of verses here. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wanting that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. So again, God desires each and every one of his creation to be reconciled to him. And then in 1 Timothy 2, first of all then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So again, the idea that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, he did that so that every single one of his creation could be reconciled to him. And yet it seems that oftentimes we don't do a very good job of dealing with the implication of all of us being together, all of us with unique talents, unique skills, unique attributes, unique failings, and unique challenges. Do we do a good job of interacting and really deferring to each other because of our uniqueness? Oftentimes there are stumbling blocks that we have to think about. What are some of those stumbling blocks? Sometimes it may be a lack of understanding. We look at Hebrews 5 and 12. Again, some of this you might say, well, how does this apply? But just look at a few verses here. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. So the idea oftentimes is that we don't progress well. We don't progress so that we're in a position to help others, but we need help ourselves. And then in Revelation 3, you have the example of a lack of commitment by the church in Laodicea, where the angel of the church there says, I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Again, the idea there that the church was not engaged, it was not committed to what God expected of it. And then we have the idea of fear. Matthew 25, again, the idea of the one talent man. And the one talent man, we won't read that full scripture because otherwise I'm going to run out of time. This is a story a parable that Jesus told that is familiar to us, where he gave talents, he gave money to three different servants. And the one that received one talent said, I knew that you were a harsh and demanding master, so I hid it. And he gave the talent back. But the Lord, the master, chastised him and said, you lazy servant, you could have at least put it to work and received interest. And he says, I will take what you have and give it to others. Give it to the one that has, and the one that has will have even more. And then the verse closes by saying, cast this worthless servant into outer darkness. So we have those examples of, are we committed to what we need to do? Are we fearful? And again, some of this is in the context of being brighter together and working together as a congregation, is the context that when we have unique, different individuals, there will be people that don't look like us, don't talk like us. Well, nobody talks like I do because I've got that West Texas drawl, but they don't sound like us. They don't maybe hold things of certain that we would hold in high esteem, in as high esteem as we should. And how do we deal with them? Do we get frustrated? Do we get ignore them? And yet, if we are about spreading the word of God, we would want to see and have all kinds of different people. All of us we know have sinned. All of us are broken. So we need to come together so that God and his Spirit can transform us. And are we prepared for that? That's part of the challenge that we have in being brighter together. Third point here is, again, it's not just about the numbers. As far as the numbers of people, the idea isn't, well, let's do the things that we need to do so that we have a larger number of Christians here. We do. And we were planted here in this spot 20 years ago, 20 plus years ago, to be a beacon, a shining city on a hill in this area. And that does include Numbers, just like Acts. You know, the Luke and Acts on numerous occasions talked about the number of men, the number of women that submitted to the Lord and were added to his church. But it's not just about Numbers, it's also about how each and every one of us can be transformed into the image of Christ, that we are, have an authentic discipleship, an authentic relationship with the Lord, and that we are making disciples with an eternal perspective of each of us that are in this congregation. And from the elder standpoint, that each individual that's been placed under our care, that we have an obligation and we have a responsibility and we have a desire for each one of our members of this congregation, each one that comes to us, to be transformed in the image of Christ, be perfect in Christ. And so let's look again at some of the verses here, starting with 1 Corinthians 3, verses 6 through 7. And again, part of the idea there here is, what is our role? Because sometimes we get confused with what our responsibility is versus what is God's responsibility. And here we have in 1 Corinthians where Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. Again, our job isn't to cause the increase to occur. That's God's job. But God has asked us as his disciples, as his image bearers who have submitted to Christ, to be about planting and watering. So again, our mission, our vision, our purpose is planted in God's word. It's intended to draw from the truth of Scripture. And yet we also recognize that we are just to be facilitators of carrying out God's purpose and God's will, and God will give the increase. And he'll give that increase both numerically, if he so chooses, and spiritually. Again, God does desire that spiritually we will continue to grow and be transformed into the image of Christ through the power of the Spirit. Whether God chooses to numerically bless this congregation, we don't know that. We don't know where God would have any folks to be. We want to be open and to be available and to be a congregation that can absorb and can encourage all that come. And so we do believe as an eldership, as a ministry staff, that there is much more work and more opportunity that come before us. But again, that's God. It's Christ that will build his church, whether it's in this place, whether that it's in other locations here in Collin County. We want to be ready, willing, and able to serve God in whatever way he would have us to work. Other points here as we think about the spiritual transformation in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, and we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Again, our transformation comes from God. We can help each other in that, but ultimately it's the Spirit working within us as we encourage one another and as we are authentic disciples. Next passage talks about how we make discipleship in the next slide. And we've got three passages there. Again, several of these very common in our thinking. The greatest command in Matthew chapter 22. And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great in the first commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Again, a very common, not a common passage, it's a very profound passage, but one that, we know well. And then we have Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, where Jesus, upon calling his disciples, told them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Again, a concept that they, I dare say, didn't understand at the time, but would look back on and, recognize. And then, of course, we have the Great Commission, one that's very common in our thinking. We know how Jesus commissioned his apostles, and by extension, asked us to go about making disciples, or as we go about making disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And again, we're to do that by developing an internal perspective. And we're not to be led astray by what is the here and now and be distracted by the, physical and the earthly. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we see that, and we'll just read this, for it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison as we look not to the things that are seen, but to things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. You think about Paul, how as he went through all of the turmoil, all of the injury, all of the frustration by the Judaizing teachers and those that were looking to do him harm. He says, and he also looking back at having been a Pharisee and being one of the at the pinnacle, or could have been at the pinnacle of the Jewish spiritual framework, or the and yet he said all of that is nothing. It's rubbish compared to the glory that we have in, Christ. So again, are we focused on what is seen, or are we focused on what is unseen? And are we focused on things from above or things down here on earth? It's real easy to get distracted with what's right in front of us. But in Colossians chapter 3, Paul there says, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are of the earth. Again, a good reminder as to where we need to be putting our emphasis. And as we think about how we emphasize or how we incorporate those thoughts about putting our, allowing the Spirit to transform us, how does that happen? When does that happen? As you think about your own situation, are there times or are there circumstances where you had significant improvement in your spiritual development? Now, think about examples like that in the sense of, you know, an example comes to mind being on a mission trip with a couple of brothers, and we are spending, you know, several days together, almost virtually 24 hours a day in each other's company, serving, working, discussing with other folks what God's will is for them, what how God can work in their lives. So that's oftentimes, frankly, when we spend time with our brothers and sisters and we are having conversations that are spiritual in nature, that's oftentimes where we can be transformed in unique and important ways. And so part of what we need to do is look for opportunities to do that, not only for ourselves, but also for others. This next slide, and when Bentley first, when I looked this and I was talking through this with Bentley, I thought, well, what is this slide about? Well, what you've got there that you can hardly see are 1,244 individual dots, 1,244 lights, and they're spread out. So what you, virtually all you can see there is just a blank page. But as you start to look at those and those come together, you start to see those same 1,244 dots start to have more impact. And as you they grow closer together and closer together, they get brighter and brighter. And until as they get to where you don't see individual dots, you see a single light. And they demonstrate this idea that if we are just dispersed, yes, we're producing light, but it's fairly dim. If we come together, and again, from the perspective of what does the community, what do those that see us, how do they perceive us, so that if we're working together, again, compared to, yes, it's one smaller light, but it's very bright compared to those same 1,244 lights, dots, being spread across and diluted, if you will, or their impact very watered down, if you will. The next slide there also has what does a couple hundred, again, working together, but 1,200 has much bigger impact than 200. And I thought that, you know, as we think about this, particularly in light of what we've been through the last 2 years, coming back together, and again, some of that's physical, and we recognize there's still issues that folks are dealing with, illness and other challenges that folks have that may prevent being together in the same room, but we need to look at ways to come together physically whenever possible. But more importantly, are we renewing our relationships? Have we allowed the separation, or have we allowed the separateness that we've had too much of the last 2 years to come between us? And have we allowed the events that have occurred over the last 2 years to even come between us to where we have been frustrated with each other? We recognize that some of the approach, even that the elders took over the last 2 years, created frustration or resulted in frustration from some of our members. All we can say at this point is we were doing the very best that we could, and we care deeply for this congregation, and we want us to be renewed and to have our relationships renewed. And we would ask, I would ask that each one of us look for ways to consider how to renew our relationships. Some of that may be, we've had a number of families that have joined this congregation during the time over the last 2 years. And so you think about the challenges that you might have had where you might have been a member here for 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, and the struggle that might have occurred for you. Think of someone now that came to us in the middle of that time and how desperate that folks may be, particularly that are new to us, for your friendship and your relationship and your support and your encouragement. So I'd encourage each one of us to reach out to those that we see, reach out to those that you don't see. And we recognize that there may be some, we want everyone to be actively involved in the Lord's, one of the Lord's congregations. If this isn't the place, then we want someone to be actively involved in another congregation. Ideally, someone that was with us will continue to be with us and will come back. But if another place is better for them, for the good of their family, what's most important is that each one of us is actively engaged in community, in a congregation that is allowing the family to help each other, allowing God's Spirit to transform them in every way, in any way possible. Again, we must rely on the Spirit for that growth. In summary, again, this is a common theme, if you will, and we'll close with this section. In faith, unity. In judgment, liberty. And in all things, love. We recognize that when we've got 1,244 dots, if you will, as we looked at the example that we just looked at, that there are going to be unique situations, unique challenges, differences, many differences, and yet can we look at each other and maintain unity in our faith? Can we, when there are items of judgment, when there are items of discretion, can we defer and not demand our rights or our way, but can we do so in a loving fashion, deferring to those, deferring to others, considering others more important than ourselves? That's the way to regaining the unity that we have had and that I believe we still have, but I think it's been frayed, it's been splintered some because of what we've gone through the last 2 years. And I pray that you will help us, each one of us, have a role that we can play in re-strengthening, renewing those relationships. Don't hesitate to reach out to one of the elders, one of the ministers, another member, and encourage one another. Will you bow with me? Dear Father, we thank you so much for the fact that you put us together in a family, that you are building your church. We pray that you will put on our hearts to grow and encourage growth, spiritual growth, transformational growth that only your Spirit can cause. But help us to submit to you and to submit to one another as we recognize the patience, the grace, the forgiveness that you have given to us. Let us likewise forgive one another. Let us encourage one another. And let us build each other up so that we can go out and that we can be seen by this community as a group that is unique because we love one another. And that by so doing, they may give glory to you. Father, thank you for Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.